This time for our commencement address, it is my distinct privilege and honor to introduce to you Dr. Jim Logan. Over the past 2 decades, Dr. Logan has served as a counselor at the International Center for Biblical Counseling, based in Sioux City, Iowa. Before this, he served as pastor for 20 years. Dr. Logan has a wide range of experience in Christian education, which include helping found a Bible college and holding a professorship at 2 Christian colleges. He has also served various mission societies, Bible schools, Christian organizations, and has ministered across the globe in over 14 nations. Would you please join me in welcoming now Dr. Jim Logan.
So moved. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Some people clap, but I just was praising God. It's wonderful to sit in a building and be lifted up into the heavens. And I know that that's going to be a touch of what heaven's music is going to be like. It's going to be absolutely beautiful and gorgeous. I just want to put in one thing for IMI. IMI is now able, because of the change of laws in Texas, to give bachelor degrees to our students, and next semester we're starting a division of women ministries, preparing young ladies for ministries in Bible studies, doing Bible studies, all of that kind of thing. So I just wanted to get that out of the way. You notice that I was carrying this around, and I don't know if there's going to be coffee in heaven, but that's not why I'm carrying it. Because if we really wanted to give these students something super significant for graduation, it would be a cup. I didn't realize the significance of a cup in the Word of God until I looked it up in the Greek and in the Hebrew. In both, it's the same. The cup is symbolic of divinely determined destiny. Remember what Jesus said in the garden? Father, if it be thy will, remove what? This cup. My divinely determined destiny from me. Now, this, don't be offended, but this verse came to me. I sat on my computer, you know, I can't spell, so I used 2 fingers to type. And Proverbs 21:31 came to me. I looked it up, and it says about horses. So I see that Verity has prepared the horses for battle. But remember, it's God that gives a victory. See, what is your divinely determined destiny? It's an important question. I had memorized Ephesians 2:10 as part of the Navigator memory verses they gave me. And it's, for we are His, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. No one ever told me, after I got saved, or after I graduated from Bible school, that God had a determined destination for my life. But He does have a determined destination for your life. God usually doesn't give us the picture all at once, just like, whammo, there it is, I got a vision, this is what I'm going to do the rest of my life. That usually not how it comes. It usually comes day by day, or as we're walking. And often we don't see it until we're older and look back. And we see how God was significantly, in a very marvelous way, unfolding his plan for my life and what I was to do with my life. I think the question that I've asked myself, now that I'm a mature adult, is have I touched anyone significantly for God? God loved people. Jesus Christ died for people, not organizations, not ministries, but he died for people. And have I touched people significantly? And so whatever the destiny is, it's always going to involve what? People. That's my destiny. Now I want to share with you how God revealed his destiny to me and I didn't see it. In the tragic circumstances that would have happened if I hadn't followed that destiny. When I was in Tacoma, Washington, a person came up to me and said, "There is a preacher in Seattle that is charging money to hear him preach." I was very offended. Preachers don't charge money. They take offerings. And why in the world did this upstart, who ever heard of him anyway, why would I pay money to hear him preach the Bible? I can read it myself. And I didn't want to go. And I don't know why I did go. I was God. I mean, to go pay big bucks to hear somebody you don't know, not knowing if he's off the wall, and besides, he's in a Lutheran church. That didn't help a lot. Baptist or Presbyterian, or that would have been a little more beneficial. Little did I know when I sat and listened to this guy how it was going to affect my life and the world. I was pastoring in Tacoma, an insignificant church. How could this ever have any eternal, long-range benefits worldwide? So what I want to do is to give you two, I think, very wonderful illustrations of how my going was significant for God's overall plan, not just for me, but for many others. Well, the first impact is how I raised my family. I have a very godly wife. Our daughter said the one person they most wanted to be like was their mother. And they couldn't pick a better role model, and that was her job to do the religious stuff, right? Isn't that right? And I preach and, you know, win the souls, tell people they'll burn in hell if they don't listen to me and all this stuff. And my wife raised the kids. Well, this guy had the nerve to tell me I needed to be involved. What did he know? He's single. But anyway, so I'm so thankful, just if nothing else, how it impacted our family, our children, our grandchildren. And our great-granddaughter was brought over to see us. She's just turned 2 and quoted for us with references 6 verses that she's learned. See, it reached down in the family. Not only children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren were affected by this. Now, the second one was this. I was asked to teach at a Bible college in Kansas City, Missouri. The problem is they didn't have any money to pay me. They were pretty sure the school was going to fold. They wanted me to come middle semester to do something unique in college history. Well, the first thing, if we were going to do this, I had to go to Kansas City in a week, raise my salary to teach at a school. And I'd never been to Kansas City before except one time to speak. So I went, and I didn't know that it was impossible to raise your salary in a week where you don't know anybody. But I went, I thought it was of God, then I had my salary. And then what we were to do is to go into the skull and to make the emphasis of the skull not knowledge, but wisdom and Christian character. Could this be done? So I called the preacher, you know, the Seattle preacher. And I said, do you think this is possible that a Bible school could turn out kids with character? He wasn't sure. But he gave us some steps to follow. He said, if you follow these steps, I believe that you can start turning out young people with character. One was that they were to clear the conscience of that Bible school of past wrong dealings with people. That was done. The second, we had to control the music in the dorm. And the third thing was, we were to purge the library of books that were heresy and books that would be wrong. And we followed that preacher's teaching in the school that was less than 200 in a very few years was over 500 students because of the emphasizing and building character, and he gave us steps on how to do that and so on. But even more significant, what if I hadn't gone? What would you do in the school? How do you pull a school that's going down, 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 losing students every semester? How do you pull it out of the fire? I wouldn't have known what to do. But I thank God in his destiny for me, I went to a meeting I didn't want to go to and actually paid the money. The second one is even more significant. And see, the preacher doesn't know the outcome of the advice he gave us. Now, I've called him many times on many situations, but these were the two that stood out that were significant. The second one was I was asked to be a part of an international mission. I had been on boards of mission, but I'd never been a missionary. Yet, I believe God called me to be a missionary. And I wanted to be a Bible translator. What better service can you do for God than giving people the written Bible in their own language that they could read? To me, that was the highest thing I could do. I studied under Ken Waters, the Bible translator, number one PhD linguist in the world. And I flunked phonetics and phonemics. And Wycliffe refused to have me. I'll tell you, I hit the pits. But I was married with kids, I couldn't hit the pits too long. But I mean, my vision was dashed. I felt that's what God wanted me to do. Years later, I went to Guatemala to speak to all the Wycliffe translators there. And then later, I went to their JARS headquarters and spoke to 500 Bible translators. I said, you guys wouldn't have me. You rejected me, now I'm speaking to the all of you. As a God got a sense of humor, he just waited. I said, Logan, you got to wait. It's down the years. You're going to get involved with Wycliffe here. Well, our mission was doing really good when I went. It was a blessing. Everything. God was wonderfully working with this mission. And all of a sudden, we came under tremendous attack. And the attack was from within and from without. And it was so drastic and so awful that we in leadership, I was one of the vice presidents, we didn't know what to do. You can get your nose so close to the glass in a tragedy, you don't know what to do. If we don't do anything, maybe that's good. If we do something, will it make it worse? Will this mission survive? Or is it going to go down? Well, I happened to call this pastor again. And there's something I didn't find out. This pastor recently wrote a book. And on page 57, because I was given a copy recently, he talks about what I'm going to tell you. We called him, and I found out, I told him what was going on, I found out that he had become a Christian through the outreach of this mission. And some of his family members, and also his father, had directed Chicago for this mission, which I had no idea. And so we said, what do we need to do? How can we pull this international mission out of collapse? And he gave us wise wisdom. and we follow that wisdom. God honored our following the wise wisdom of someone on the outside that knew about our mission and what was going on. I want to tell you what just happened last year. This mission didn't go under. Last year, this mission presented the gospel to 100 million children in 1 year. And 1 million children accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. Isn't that wonderful? Little did I realize when I went to see this guy standing on tables, writing on a blackboard with chalk. Little did I realize that that was God's divine destiny, not just for me, but that destiny was going to reach the world, not through his organization, but by being able to go to him. And of course, you know who that guy was that charged money, and I can still go back free after all these years, Brother Bill. And I just thank God. And the whole thing I want to tell you, young people, that cup represents God's divine destiny for your life. And you may not know, I had no idea that was my destiny. I had no idea when I went that God was going to use that down through the years. And that's just a couple of things that I picked up. So I want you to leave here knowing that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And I want you to say, Lord, here am I. What did Isaiah say? Send me. Lord, I want to walk in that plan. And it's specific for you. And you have no idea of the far-reaching benefits if you will follow God's divine destiny